Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday, the day before the 4th of July weekend kicks off. Hope you're all going to be spending it with folks who allow you to talk some green and gold, some Packers, wherever you are in this country or indeed this world of ours. I will be taking off the next couple of days, so there won't be a chat tomorrow on Thursday or on Friday. I'll be back at it on Monday. So hope everyone stays safe this 4th of July holiday. Hope you have a great time doing whatever it is you're doing. Most of all, just stay safe out there. It's just be smart. Don't pull yourself an Andrew Corliss and have the headlines be about you over the 4th of July weekend. You don't want that. Nobody wants that. We all want you to have fun in the most safe and responsible way possible. And that's my only entreaty to you Packers fans as we head into the final kind of stretch here of the summer holiday, where it's interesting because the 4th of July is really kind of like almost harbinger of summer to come. But for a lot of folks around the football world, it's like the last kind of gasp where, you blink in a couple of weeks, it's the start of training camp. So here, hoping that you get time with friends and family before we kind of gear down once training camp kicks off there on July 22nd. I, for one, am very much looking forward to it, but I know lots of other people enjoy their quality time in the summer. Hope you have a good one, whatever you're doing, wherever you are. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody chiming in already. Hello, hello. Obviously, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King, based in Wisconsin since 1992. Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right Packers tickets for larger groups, single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, on our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Do it, folks. You don't want to utilize Ticketmaster, StubHub, or SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. What's up, everyone? Hope you're all doing well. Everyone mixing it up already. We got Mimsy out here. Mimsy, haven't seen you in a while. Thanks for the super chat. What's the Negler beer of the summer? High life for me. That's an excellent question. I will admit, in lieu of the fact that I cannot get Carry the G out here in New York, I do still tend to stick to Dale's Pale Ale throughout the summer. Although, when it's a really hot day, like that stretch we had a couple weeks ago where it was like 90 every day for basically 10 days straight, I do enjoy a Miller High Life. That is an ice cold Miller High Life. Something about it just goes down right. Ed, thanks for the super chat. My heart's with Germany, but my money is with Spain, although France might put it together. Enjoy the games. Oh, Ed, tomorrow's going to be insane. Saturday, I'm going to be a wreck watching England. I'm excited. And yes, I've noticed that you've not mentioned England and your possible winners there, which I understand. They have looked like garbage, and it took a miracle for them to get this far. So I will most certainly be enjoying the games without question. Very much looking forward to it. Michael says, steaks and kebabs on the grill tomorrow. Oh, Michael, that sounds lovely. That sounds fantastic. I am going to be in the city with my girls. We're going to be watching the fireworks. They have them on the west side this year for the first time in like over a decade. So we will be on the High Line enjoying the fireworks. Very, very exciting stuff. Cannot wait. Ahmad asks, do you see another free agent signing between now and camp? I don't. Would I be surprised? No, because you're always looking to kind of churn the roster, especially towards the bottom end of it. But I do think Brian is going to stand pat with what they've got and have had through much of the offseason. If for some reason, they feel that they can maybe up the floor of one of the, parts of the depth chart, whether at the bottom of a certain position group, what have you, maybe they make that kind of signing, but I'd be very surprised. I think the roster they have right now is most likely the roster that, for the most part, will be taken into training camp. Now, could there be the odd, undrafted free agent signing? that type of signing I could see, but some significant move, I'd be very, very surprised. As many Danes say, soccer is 22 guys and a ball, and in the end, Germany wins. They've looked phenomenal this tournament, that's for sure. Who else we got? Who will develop into tackle four? Tackle four? McKnight. McKnight ain't happy with three tackles. He wants tackle four. I know the prevailing wisdom, or the kind of the, I would think the leader in the clubhouse would be Caleb Jones. I think, you know, they've obviously put time and work into him, both him and Tenuta. But for me, I think Jones is the guy. If he's able to hit the ground running in camp and pick up where he left off two summers ago. Last summer, he was really curtailed by injury. But the fact that the Packers have kept him around would suggest that they think there's a possibility there for, you know, a legit player to emerge. So, yeah, I think, you know, that's certainly one of the battles that's going to be fun watching in camp. But, yeah, my money's on Caleb Jones. Matthew asks, is this year's Packers team a dangerous team? Yes, I believe it is. I believe it is a team that can beat you, or will be a team that can beat you in a lot of different ways. I think they'll be able to button it up and run the football. I think they'll be able to spread it out, throw it around the yard. I think they're going to be very multiple on defense. And the fact that Halfley is a first-time NFL coordinator should allow him to really, maybe not surprise teams from week to week, but really kind of roll through coverages without, you know, the benefit of his opponents having any kind of tendency work, video-wise, play-calling-wise, things of that nature. That should help Halfley in his first year, especially considering he does have a decent amount of talent at his disposal. So, but yeah, I think dangerous is a good word for this team, no doubt. Oh, Matthew, what's up? Whilst I don't want to mention the Euros, come on, England, what a mess I was on Sunday. Monday's hangover is an all-time bad. Mrs. Matthew was delighted with my shenanigans. Go, Pack, go. I mean, it was bleak there for about 90 minutes. And then miracles happen. That's why I always say, what do I always say? A lot of ball game left. Joe, thanks for the super chat. Liberate USMNT from Berhalter on Independence Day. I saw the big fan group has called for his firing. You know, for all the good that does. I mean, I remember back in the day, Cheesehead TV calling for the firing of Jim Bates. Like, anyone cares what we have to say, right? Like, you're a fan group. Like, get it together. But yeah, could I see it happening? It's a possibility. That'd be some cold ass business, but it is a cold ass business. So possibly. We shall see. Joey, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. I would love to see Coop rotate as a stand-up edge. You know, it's funny because we talked a bit about that with Walker last year, and we did see it every once in a while, but it certainly wasn't something that was on offer on the regular, right? But I could see it. I could see them wanting to utilize his physicality out there, or especially his burst and speed. My worry would be, now this would obviously have to be in really obvious passing situations, because I don't love the idea of him sitting out there on a down where they might be able to run the football, and because they would most certainly look right at him and try and run right at him. But, you know, like, obviously you're in the NFL, your job is to do what's asked of you. And if you're out there, you got to do everything you can in your power to make it work. But I just don't think that's a great idea if the run is still in play. That would be my one kind of caveat there. Jim, I'll take the over. Sportscasters love a good cliche. They do indeed. Ahmad asks, are the rookies and vets all on the same page on defense now that there is a new DC in town, or are some parts of the old scheme reutilized? Well, there won't be parts of the old scheme. They won't be utilizing anything out of Joe Barry's playbooks or anything like that, but there are certainly going to be concepts that are familiar to the vets and even some of the, you know, rookies, given, you know, some football things certainly carry over, especially when you're talking defense and coverages and cover two, cover three, two man, cover one, things of that nature. That's kind of universal football parlance. Now, what will change is what is asked of you pre-snap and your post-snap rules and things that you're asked to do as far as alignment. And, you know, then that is all very, very, very rudimentary stuff. And then they'll get into kind of deeper parts of the playbook that really kind of play off of those tendencies and combine some of them. And, you know, even to the point where you're trying to marry what you're doing coverage wise with what's going on pressure wise and trying to make sure both of those are married and in sync. I do think, yeah, they're going to be in a good spot to begin, but you got to have live reps, and you're not going to get any until you get to kind of the preseason games. But even preseason games aren't full, complete, you know, balls to the wall kind of speed, ferocity that you get in the regular season. So I think, and I've said this a couple times, I think you're going to live with a few mistakes early, a few miscommunications early, because you have a new coordinator and a new scheme, but also because you have a lot of youth on that side of the ball. So I think that's inevitable. Cheeto. Happy fourth. Suck it, England. Succinct and to the point, as always, Cheeto. Steve, Anthony, thanks for the super chat, man. Cheers, Nags and Cheeseheads. And iced gin and tonic is hard to beat when it's 90 plus. Beer-wise, I've been hitting hazy IPAs. Steve-O is a vino guy by nature. A little vino would be kino. Can we get a wine glass and cocktail emoji? Oh, we should do that. Yes, Steve, I think we can. I think that's a really good idea here on the old Cheesehead TV account. I'll get right on that. I will talk to young Tyler Herrick to have those included. It's a really good idea. John Simatovich, what's up? Hope you have a great fourth, man. Great to see you in the mix here. Oh, Brandy. Will LaFleur change his willingness to go for it on fourth down if he has a defense he can rely on? I don't think so. I think most of his calls to go for it have very little to do with how he feels about his defense. I think it's much more about how he feels it's advantageous and almost always correct to go for it on fourth down in lots of instances. Now, obviously, if it's like fourth and 22 in your own end, no, you don't want to go for it. But more often than not, going for it on offense is the right call. And I'm not saying every single time, but more often than not, it is. And I think he has supreme confidence in both his ability to come up with the right play call, but also his guys to, you know, execute. Certainly from what we saw second half of last season, I don't think for a moment that his tendency to want to go for it on fourth down is going to change. I think, like I said, more often than not, he's made the right call to go for it. Sometimes you can quibble with the play calls. Sometimes it's bad execution, but the idea of going for it is almost always correct. I have zero issues with that, and I don't think he will either. Matthew, thanks again, man. You got to go 1-0 down with a minute to play to win 2-1 in extra time. Can't wait for the NFL season now, though. Bullard will ball this year. I'm so excited to watch Bullard fly around the field at Ray-Nitschke Field. I want to see his speed and athleticism and physicality. I hope it pops off the field the way he's been described and what you've seen on his college tape. Here's hoping. We shall see. Complicated fella. The Sunday Ticket lawsuit, will this cause a major crack in the Shield's chokehold on their prosperity? Not for a long time, if it ever does. I would deeply, highly encourage you to check out my chat with Andrew Brandt here on the YouTube channel regarding this very subject. There's a long way to go, very long way to go. And even if we get to the point where there is some kind of breakup of their ability to utilize the distribution model that is Sunday Ticket, we're still a ways away from them having to really kind of drastically change any of their distribution models. But we'll see how it plays out, but it's going to be years yet, you know, between, you know, everything that Andrew talked about with, you know, the fact that the judge could vacate the verdict, essentially. They have, obviously, the NFL will appeal to the circuit court, which traditionally, historically, has been very, very favorable to the league. And then, hell, they could even get it to the Supreme Court, which they probably would if they lost in the circuit court. So, and that'll take forever. So it's going to be a long time before there's a resolution here. Danny, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. I guess now that we are on the verge of training camp, I should come out of hibernation. See you at upcoming happy hour soon. Well, it's about time, Danny. My kid, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. And speaking of happy hour, man, we had like almost 40 people on happy hour last night. Y'all a bunch of diehards up in here. I absolutely love it. My girlfriend was like, who is coming on a happy hour to talk about the Packers in early July? And I'm like, Diehards, that's who. They just don't understand, man. They just don't get us. Absolutely love it. Matthew says, we won't take three quarterbacks, surely, to the 53. So the training camp battle between Pratt and Clifford is going to be massive. Absolutely going to be a battle to watch. Something that Billy and I talked about on last week's Carry the G Radio. That is one of, for me, one of the highlights I'm going to be watching day in and day out. I'm excited to see who rises to the occasion and who wins out that spot, because I'm with you. I'd be very, very surprised if they took three quarterbacks on the 53. Most Hated, what's up? I actually made it last night. Got to work out early. I saw you, Most Hated. I saw you lurking without your camera on. You lurker. I get it. Nick, thanks for checking out the stream on X. Fun happy hour yesterday. Yeah, it was a good time. Really good conversations. If you guys haven't jumped in yet, you really should. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it is nothing but diehard Packers fans each and every week. It's a really, really good time. Kenneth says, Tour de France all-time stage wins record set today. Kenneth, I kid about the biking and the cycling and the Tour de France. I'm very excited. Sir, it is the day before America's birthday. How dare you bring up some French bike race? I kid. Dennis, I will be surprised if the NFL ends up paying that $14 billion. Yeah. Kevin, thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. What do you think that the time frame between implementing the new defensive scheme and the players somewhat mastering it on the field? I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw play out last year on the offensive side of the ball. You know, I think we're going to see some real rough patches early. We're going to see some exciting stuff as well. But I think week 7-8, around that time, should be when it starts to kind of really look like they're on the same page. Everyone knows what's expected down in and down out. I will kind of leave open the possibility that it maybe happens sooner than that, maybe quicker than that, because of the nature of defensive football being, you know, a little bit more reactionary, a little bit more see ball, get ball, rather than having to get, you know, all these intricate timings down that you do on offense. But you still have a lot of different types of calls and things that have to work in concert together. And I just think it will take, a month, maybe even 2 months before we're like really seeing a cohesive defense that is really kind of firing on all cylinders, which to me, you know, that's fine. I do not doubt for a moment that they're not out there expecting that or preaching that in any way, shape, or form. They want it right from the kickoff of week one. But it's the nature of the beast, especially when you have so many young players playing what looks like is going to be pretty prominent roles. You know, I just think it's foolish to think that it's just going to gel right away, right out of the gate. So now we got talk about French food in the chat. So that's always fun. The French helped us in the revolution. Yeah, they did. But then they were sneaky during World War II. You know, South of France. Very, very, very sneaky. I don't like talking about the French. They're not my people. Danny, between building a house in this economy and quiet offseason, not complaining, there's been no need for my hot takes. Yeah, it is kind of refreshing to have an offseason that's not dominated by drama from one certain individual. It's nice to just be excited about the team and the prospects for the team heading into the season. Now, I know there's been a lot of chatter online about Jordan Love's potential contract extension, but still, for the most part, it's been a welcome change of pace in that regard. Let's just say that. Pogs, what's up, man? Have a great fourth and weekend, Nags. Thank you, brother. Back at you. Back at it to everybody. I really appreciate everybody coming out here every day during the depths of the off season. You know, you guys keep it fun and interesting, and you always keep me on my toes as far as what you ask about and the topics we hit. I really do appreciate each and every one of you making Cheesehead TV part of your Packers routine, because God knows there is a ton on offer out there. And the fact that Cheesehead TV is utilized in any way, shape, or form in connection with your love for the Green Bay Packers means the world to me. So thank you so much. I am going to get going. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in, checking in. Like I said, No chats the next couple days. Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be off. So I'll be back at it here on the channel on Monday afternoon, refreshed and ready to go. Please stay safe over the 4th of July holiday and over the weekend. Have a good time wherever you are. Crack open a cold one, talk some Packers, and tell everyone in your life that you love them. Please do that for me. All right, everybody. I'm going to take off. Thank you so much. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the channel, on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.